The Homeland Security Department's budget is fully funded now for the rest of fiscal 2015. Congress has the chance now to look at other issues that may impact the federal workforce. Janet Copenhaver's Washington representative of federally employed women. They have a priority list to take to the Hill now. Janet, thanks for coming on today. I'm going to do this countdown style. I'm going to start with number three and move up.
Okay.
The first one you write about, which is actually your third, is fighting anti-federal worker legislation. I guess the good news that I hear from the Hill is I've heard nobody talk about some of the things that have happened that have been discussed in the past. The bad news is I haven't heard anybody discount any of the things that have been talked about in the past. Is that the way you're reading this right now too, Janet?
Exactly, and thanks, Francis, for having me on again. Most of these, or a lot of these bills come out when they start talking about budget resolutions and appropriations. So I think we will see some of these anti-Fed bills come out in the GOP budget resolution, which should be coming out in the next couple of weeks. We have seen some bills introduced, including across-the-board cuts, 1%, 2%, 3% in the federal workforce. So those have already been introduced. And as you remember last year, it was like playing whack-a-mole. Every time we thought we would fight one issue, another one would pop up over there. And you know, we're going to the Hill, and we're meeting with a lot of freshman offices and their staffers, and basically just saying, you know, when these bills come across your desk, before you make any decisions, please just talk to us and let us tell you why, you know, what the adverse impacts of these bills are going to be.
I'm struck, too, Janet, by the fact that I'm not hearing the kind of rhetoric about federal employees that I've heard before. And of all of those, the events that have transpired regarding the federal workforce in Congress in the past couple of months, I think the one that was the most striking was the new chairman of the House Oversight Committee, Jason Chaffetz, going to, I believe it was NTEU's annual legislative conference and speaking very positively about the workforce. Are you detecting a change in the tenor of the conversation, or am I maybe overly optimistic yet?
I think there is a change, and certainly we welcomed his comments. I think he is going to work very well with Representative Cummings, who's the ranking member. If you remember, one of the first bills that got out of the committee was the Wounded Warrior Bill, bipartisan bill, which shows that we can work together and we can push forward some very positive bills about the federal workforce. And you're right, we haven't been really hearing a lot of the negative comments, which is a welcome relief.
Are there priorities among within this idea of fighting anti-federal worker legislation that you are going to work toward, or are they a kind of all equals when it comes to the possibilities that you see of some of these things either becoming freestanding bills or being added into other bills?
Yeah, we haven't really ranked those per se. Obviously, furloughs and sequestration is just ridiculously ridiculous, and it does impact the services. And that's the thing that federally employed women, our members, are concerned about. It's not necessarily the, oh, woe is me, you're cutting my benefits. It's more that, A, the critical services are going to be impacted, and these are services that Americans depend on each and every day, and they don't even realize how much they depend on the federal workforce. I mean, the other thing that we're talking about on the Hill in these offices is that we have a lot of baby boomers who are in these managerial jobs who were putting off retirement because the economy wasn't so hot. Now it is, so they're going to start to retire, and we're not getting the young people in because it used to be, well, federal pay isn't so good, but the benefits are great. Now we're kind of seeing benefits equal to the private sector, so these young people aren't coming in, and we're really concerned that there's just going to be a big gap there.
And the package, it might not be that the package that's offered is better or worse. It's just different. I mean, I go to some offices of some contractors, and it's just a different vibe and a different environment. And I wonder if that might be as much of the issue as it is the dollars and cents and the format of those.
Well, that's true. And like I think you're mentioning morale. I mean, you know, when you have all these constant anti-Fed remarks and, you know, federal workers or look at the bills, you know, you can't look at porn when you're on the job. Well, come on. I mean, that's not really going on a lot.
It is a bad idea, yeah. But not necessarily the highest priority.
Exactly. So, yeah, you have a young person and they're looking to start their career and that's what they're hearing. And it just doesn't bode well. So, We need to change that. And like you said, we're not hearing it as much, and I'm glad. But that's kind of where Few is coming from. We have got to get these young people in.
The bigger problem maybe than getting them in is keeping them in, because I keep hearing that the quit rates among younger people in government is just tremendously high.
Right. And of course, you're going to see that this younger generation, they're used to instant gratification. They want things done quickly and right away. And they like to have new ideas. And the government's got to change to acclimate to these new workers as well.
The second priority on your list is enactment of the Equal Rights Amendment. And you say that would provide full legal equality for women under the United States Constitution. A noble cause. That's one you've been at for a while, I imagine.
We have been. It's been in our top three for the last several years. And basically, bottom line, we just want it codified in law that women are equal to men. We don't think that it's such a big deal. It's just getting more attention. We've got to get it to have more attention up on Capitol Hill.
And the final one listed as your number one is enactment of a paycheck fairness bill. And that's an issue that we've heard a lot about in the news over the couple of years. Are you detecting any movement on that?
We are. The bill will be introduced mid-April in conjunction with Equal Pay Day. And, at first we thought, oh, this is a private sector problem. You had that 77 cents to the dollar. But then GAO did a study a couple of years ago that found there is even a gap in the federal government, which you wouldn't think a GS 5-Step 8 is going to earn what it. Another GS 5-Step 8, but they found an 11 cents gap, and 7 cents of that is unexplained, which usually means there's some type of discrimination going on.
Interesting. And we'll continue to follow those. I want to go back to something that you said about your education process, going to members of Congress and talking about these issues. What's the reception been like among the many, many freshman members who may not have dealt with these issues, certainly on a national scale, and maybe they dealt with them in a state legislature environment and were looking at them from a different perspective? What's that education process been like, and what kind of reception have you gotten, Janet?
It runs the gamut. We've met with probably about half. There's 58 in the House, and we're just about half. And we do present the statistics, which Few does every 2 years. That's by congressional district, federal worker, postal, and federal retirees. That always gets a lot of attention because they're just hungry for information and demographics about their constituents. So that goes over really well. And then, some offices are very eager to work with us. Some Republican offices want to be the office, that can bring both parties together and try and get things done. Other offices, the staffers are very young and just kind of look at you. And then others have just been around for a while, and these staffers were on the Hill, so they know some of the issues, and we can have a good give and take. So it's been all kinds of reception, but we remain optimistic, and part of our job is to educate these new members and their staff.
What are the typical kinds of questions, if there is such a thing, that you get from these people beyond how many of these folks live in the district?
Sometimes, because our statistics break it out by agency, so we have a little bit of conversation about, do you have a base, a defense base in your district, or you have a big veterans center? Because you can glean a lot from the statistics, because we break it out into about 8 to 10 agencies. And then they just kind of ask questions about some of the previous bills, some of the people who have been there before. We can talk about, like, paycheck fairness. It got so close in the Senate, and this is what happened last time with the budget. So, you get those kinds of conversations as well.
The numbers that you talked about, we have a link to them at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth and to the list of your legislative priorities. They're the best numbers that I've seen as far as helping to understand where feds are around the country. I think the next progression of that would be, my understanding is the numbers you have are coded by the location of the job. Is that correct?
Exactly.
It seems to me the next best step would be for some member of Congress to say to OPM or GAO or somebody, boy, it sure would be helpful to know that those numbers coded by the zip code of residence, because I know, at least off the top of my head, three people who work in Washington for the federal government who live in Pennsylvania. And of course, there are a million of them that live in Virginia and in Maryland. Mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm. the case all over the country. So I wonder if I wonder what it will take, and it's, maybe it's a more of a rhetorical question or a discussion point for you, Janet, than an actual question, what do we do about this? But it seems to me that's the next step in really understanding where these people are around the country.
Right, and in our meetings, I do kind of whisper that in their ear, especially for those representatives who have large counties. I always say, well, it would be great if we could get a congressional inquiry to OPM, because that would be wonderful. That would be the best-case scenario. It's obviously the voters in those congressional districts. We just can't get it, so the best we can do is by county, and some counties do overlap different congressional districts. So we keep working it, and we keep plugging it and suggesting it to staff as we go up there.